Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Action International Ministries Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, it is my real blessing to enjoy the preaching and teaching of the Holy Word of God this morning once again. And I enjoy our fellowship in the ministry of the Word, my friends. It's my real heart's prayer that God will abundantly bless His powerful Word, His sharp Word to your hearts, and that you might enjoy fellowship with Christ as the Spirit fills and blesses your hearts once again. My friends, we're in Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 1, so please turn there in your Bibles as you are able to. Let me read that verse for you in the New King James Version, the Holy Bible. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And then verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. And so, my friends, let us pray. Lord, thank you that you call us, you command us, you direct us, you bless us with your powerful, precious word. And you declare to us, Lord, that it is your will that we imitate you as dear children, as a child would imitate his father in the home. So it is that you call us to imitate you in our home with you, Lord. Lord, thank you for this glorious picture that we indeed, no matter what our chronological age, are really children in our Father's home. And Lord, that you are with us here, that we are at your feet. Your blessed, beloved, dear children, you call us our Father, and you are our beloved, dear Father, our Heavenly Father. And by the precious gift of faith and repentance, we are yours, Lord. We have come to know that we are your children and that we enjoy sitting at your feet, learning of you and watching you, Lord. And so, my Father, help us to be faithful imitators. And we rejoice that we really dwell in your house, Lord, the household of God, and that we are one with our brothers and sisters throughout this great world, one with the redeemed in your very presence in heaven. And we thank you that you're near, Lord. And so we've come to once again sit at your feet and learn of you and follow you. Give us grace to imitate you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, we are continuing in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And this morning, we want to continue where we left off last Lord's Day, and that is that we are looking at virtues, at the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have discovered that to be an imitator of God as his dear children, it is that, first of all, we must be truly regenerated. We must be truly born again. And that then, from a regenerated heart, we can truly imitate God spiritually. It is only the regenerated who can imitate God in this way. This is not a superficial, skin-deep appearance, merely a play-acting as a Christian. But indeed, my Father in heaven, our God, he calls us to imitate him truly and spiritually as truly redeemed children from the heart, from the spirit. And so marvelously, by God's grace, we are to follow him. We are to attempt to duplicate what he does. We are to honor him. We are to watch him, listen to him. We are to hear his instruction. We are to do as he does. He is our pattern and model. And we are to pattern our lives after the blessed example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals to us the Father, who imitates perfectly the Father and has taught us to pattern and model our lives after his. And so to do this, my friends, it means that we are to have his character. We are to have this heart-deep imitation of the character of Christ, which we then act on in true obedience and true love for God to his commandments. And we talked about some of the character, the virtues, the issues of character that we are to have as we are faithful imitators of God. We are to be meek, self-denying. We are to be loving and obedient and benevolent. We are to be cheerful, generous givers. And we find today that we are also to be humble. Philippians 2, and we want to look at verses 5 through 10. And so, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. To imitate God means that we imitate the character of Christ in his humility. And these really are some of my favorite verses in the Bible. These verses are just so beautiful. They are such a clear description of the humility, the glorious humility of the man, Jesus Christ, of the eternal Son of God, who humbled himself to take upon himself human nature. And so we cannot imitate God. We cannot imitate Christ unless we too are humble as Jesus was humble. And real Christian humility, this virtue of humility, is so wonderfully described for us here. Let's begin in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One man put it this way. He said, there is no real godliness, or if you will, real imitation of God in Christ without humility. There is no godliness without humility. Humility could very well be one of the very root virtues, root conditions of heart. When God saves us, he humbles us under his mighty hand, and he makes us as humbled people to be like his glorious Son in this respect. Now, the verses there, beginning in verse 5, call us to let the mind of humility, which was in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, who became the man, Jesus Christ, be in us. Let the mind of Christ be in us. This was his mind. And so, obviously, to imitate his mind, we must have a mind like his. Praise God. We imitate and become that which we desire to be like, you see. And so, his mind was a mind of absolute humility, perfect humility. And so it is that a humble mind must be in us, the mind that was in Christ Jesus in this sense. Now, as we begin to think about this great character issue of humility, this virtue of humility this morning, we must note that man by nature is not humble in this respect. Some men by nature are more humble than others, but no man, apart from regeneration, that is the saving work of God to bring us to Christ, to save us from our sins, to convert us to the Christ, is spiritually humble as it is described for us here. The man who is spiritually humbled has been united to God. The man who has not been spiritually humbled has not been united to God. And so to be saved or to be united to God means that we shall be humbled and that the mind that was in Christ Jesus shall be with us. We shall come to our right senses, if you will. We shall come to our right mind. This is the right mind that a man should have. He should esteem himself to be but merely a man created by God, who exists for the glory of God and to enjoy God and Christ Jesus. Again, apart from regeneration, no man by nature thinks that way. By nature, he thinks this way. He thinks that he exists, and he exists for his own purposes, and that he exists to please himself. By nature, he doesn't know or believe in the true God. He is separated from God. He doesn't see the glory of God, the glory of Christ, which Christ reveals to us about his Father. He doesn't see his own weakness, and he doesn't see the dangerous condition he is in this deception in which he lives and this deception which he believes. He believes that the creation is all for his purposes. You see, God is in none of his thoughts. God is in none of his reasonings. But when it is that the gracious Holy Spirit brings us to Christ, and Christ saves us and indwells us, and we are truly born again, and Christ unites us to himself and unites us to God our Father, he always brings into the regenerated heart this nature and understanding that we must humble ourselves before God, that we are not God, as the scripture says, that he is God, and that we are men and only men, mere men, who have been created by the great and awesome, high and exalted God. And so this mind of humility, Paul calls us to, is to dwell in us. In Christ Jesus, this mind dwelt perfectly. He never sinned in this issue. From the moment of his conception to the moment when he gave up the ghost, his mind was perfectly humble. He always kept himself under the authority of God his Father with perfection. He never went against God his Father in his thinking, actions, words, or desires. But he always kept himself in order under God's creation order, and he worshiped God as he is the man Christ Jesus, though he is also the eternal Son of God. You see, he humbled himself. He placed himself under the authority of God the Father, and he perfectly did what God the Father wanted him to do. Now, that's a good definition of humility. It means that we place ourselves, we keep ourselves under the authority of God the Father, and like the man Jesus, we seek to please God the Father and do what God the Father, who is the Most High God, who has all authority, tells us to do through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so wonderfully, Christ Jesus had this mind in perfection. We do not yet have this mind in perfection. Hence the apostles' encouragement to us to remember and to cooperate with the Spirit and to reckon, that is to consider, that the mind that was in Christ is to be in us. It's really a simple calling again to humble ourselves and to maintain a state of humility in our hearts. And then he gloriously, by the Spirit, begins to describe the glorious humility of Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God, that means that Christ, the second son of the Son of God, is God, fully God. Christ Jesus came in the form of God. meaning here simply that he came as God who is spirit, but he came in humanity. He is the God-man, the second person of the Trinity, the Spirit, the Christ who came into a human nature, you see. And so he is in this way of saying in the form of God. This means simply that though he appeared to be only a man, the underlying reality is that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He is fully divine. He is one with the Father, though according to appearances, he simply appears, he looks to be a human being, merely a man. And so, being in the form of God, being in fact God who appears as a human being, we see there in verse 6 that he did not consider it robbery, that is, to be sinful, to consider, to count himself to be equal with God Almighty. Now, that's a powerful statement of the deity of Christ and the sinlessness of Christ, my friends. Notice that the Son did not consider it sinful to think of himself as fully equal to the Father, as being a complete equal, a perfect equal with the Father, meaning that he has essential deity as the Father does. He is truly fully God as the Father is truly fully God. He is very God of very God. And so, if he were not fully God, he would have considered it robbery to be equal with God. But notice that the text says that he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And so this was not sinful for Christ to think of himself as equal to the Father. And that is because he is fully God, the sinless Son of God, who is equal to the Father. Now, amazingly, this exalted person, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, verse 7, takes upon himself a human nature. And it says that he made himself of no reputation. The idea there is that in the highest heaven, he had the highest reputation. All beings bowed to him in the heavenly presence. The demons knew in the time of his incarnation that he is the eternal Son of God. His name then was most glorious, equal with the Father. He was known to be the Son of God with power and in truth. But he left that glorious condition of exaltation, of an exalted reputation. He gave it away in a sense, and he made himself of no reputation. He became a common man, taking the form of a bond servant. The idea here again is that he comes in appearance as a bond servant, as a slave, as the slave of slaves, if you will. And so the remarkable, absolutely remarkable condescension of Christ is that he left this exalted status. He left the exaltation. The highest name was declared by all heavenly beings, his name. And he allowed himself to become of no reputation, an unknown, little known, not regarded as reputable. And he came and became the slave of slaves in the likeness of men. That speaks of the fact that he took upon himself a human nature. And by that we mean that his spirit came to dwell in a sinless human body. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost He came to be in the womb of the Virgin. And as a human being, as a true human being, he had a mind, a will, and a heart. He dwelt, his spirit dwelt in this human body and in this nature of mind and will and spirit. Perfect humanity. But the point that Paul is making here is that he humbled himself and he became one of us. He humbled himself to come into this world as a man. And then verse 8 tells us, and being found in appearance as a man, he appeared to others as a man, the highly exalted eternal Son of God. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now again, the most exalted person places himself under the authority of God his Father and humbles himself in this extraordinary fashion to obey his Father and to come and to save the people of God. His Father commanded him to come and save, and the Son humbled himself and obeyed his Father with perfection and came to save his people and became obedient to God, even when the commandment of God required that he die for his people. He became obedient even to the point of death. Now remember, humility involves this keeping ourselves under the authority of God and keeping ourselves in a condition of heart of real and true obedience to God. And of course, the Lord Jesus fulfilled that perfectly. He became obedient without sin to the point of death, and not just to the point of death, but to the shameful and cruel death of the cross. And so the Most High and Exalted Son came to the place of lowest shame and dishonor and humiliation, where he gave his blood an atonement for our sins. And so the Most High God, the Son, comes to save men, and he comes to the lowest place, the bloody tree, the cross of shame and cursing and death, and there he dies for the sins of his people. And so verse 9 says that because he has so obeyed God to the point of death, even the death of the cross, God has been so well pleased with the man Jesus Christ that he has exalted him above the grave, and he has exalted him back to the place in the highest heaven where his name is declared to be the name above every name. The loving Son has obeyed and humbled himself and come and bled and died, suffered lifelong, died for us to bear our sins. His body was placed in the tomb. He rose again from the dead after 3 days. And the Father, who loved his Son, is well pleased with his Son, the Messiah, the Christ, who has accomplished eternal redemption for his people. And the Father, in the love of God, that great heart of a Father that he has, the heart of God the Father, the love of God the Father, then takes his beloved Son, the man Jesus Christ, and he lifts him up high to the highest place. Now, where true and perfect humanity dwells upon the very throne of God, and God brings this marvelous declaration about that every being must declare and bow the knee to the man Jesus Christ, his eternally beloved Son. And every tongue must confess that glorious man, Jesus Christ the Lord, is Lord, all to God's redounding and eternal glory. Every tongue will confess, every knee shall bow and declare, He is Lord of all. God is highly glorified in His wonderful Son and in His humble obedience, in His humiliation, and now again in His exaltation as the Messiah. And so it is that Paul then tells us in verse 11 that every tongue will confess, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 10, he tells us that every tongue in heaven, every knee in heaven, every tongue, every knee on earth, every tongue, every knee under the earth, that is in the realm of the dead, the living and the dead, every being that God has ever created, every existent being will confess that Christ is Lord and will bow the knee and humble themselves before God the Father. God is going to bring this to pass, all for His own glory. Amen. And He has brought about this glorious humiliation and exaltation of His Son to pass. And so, to be an imitator of God, my friends, means that we must have the mind of Christ in us. We must think and understand that it is our blessing to humble ourselves under our Father, as the Lord Jesus humbled Himself under His Father and obeyed the Father. We must think and consider that it is virtuous, it is pleasing to God that we have a mind of humility, a heart of humility. And when the world would deceive us, and when the world would lie to us and tell us that to be humble is foolishness, that we must be proud, then it is that we are to obey God when we are tempted to pride and sin, as the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. Then we are to let the mind of Christ dwell richly in us. We are to let His mind be in us, and we must remember the precious truth and keep ourselves under the Father and His authority in obedience. Keep our place, our rank, under God's awesome authority and lovingly obey Him. And so it is that those who are humble as Jesus is humble then imitate God as dear children. My friends, we also find in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 13 the grace, the character of forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 13. Let me turn there. And so to be like Christ, to imitate God, is to have this character. We are to bear with one another and forgive one another. Let me read the verse. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. And so Christ imitated His Father, who forgave us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There is no forgiveness apart from the blood-shedding work of the atonement of Christ, my friends. But there is full redemption, full and perfect, complete forgiveness through the precious blood of Christ Jesus. And so it is that the Father forgives those who believe in His Son through the blood of Christ. The Son forgives those who believe in Him and the Father through His precious blood that was shed for us. And so it is that the dear children of God, in imitation of Christ and God, will always forgive others and bear with others, just as it is that Christ has forgiven us. And so it is that we must do this. We remember the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if we would be forgiven, we must forgive. We must always forgive. And so we must bear with others. We must forgive everyone. And if we have a complaint against another, and we may find in this fallen world that we do have complaints against others at times, perhaps even often, then as Christ forgave us, so we also must forgive those that we have a complaint against. And so to be like Christ, to be like the Father, to imitate them is to be forgiving. Well, my friends, our time is gone again. Let's continue next Lord's Day morning at this point and consider a few more of the character issues, the real characteristics, the virtues that God has bound up in the hearts of those who truly believe in his Son, in the true imitators of God and Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you for today's teaching. And so I pray, Lord, that you would often remind us and that you would make it to come to pass that your Son's mind would ever more fully guide us and direct us and be in us and control us, so that we will gladly humble ourselves, assume our correct, our godly, right posture under your authority, and see that it is our blessedness. The truth is such that we are your sons, created to obey you. And so, Lord, we shall obey you and enjoy you and learn of you, our Heavenly Father, and imitate you in this. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.